Open our Bible in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 5 up to verse 10. And then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 22. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. So, 1 Peter, that is the latter part of the end part of the New Testament. 1 Peter, First Peter chapter 2, beginning our reading. From verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling block, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hebrews chapter 10, our second reading, verses 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, his body, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. This is the word of God for all of us. Heavenly Father, will you please now open our minds, our spiritual eyes, to the help of the Holy Spirit, that we might draw the wonderful truths out of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this morning, we centered our thoughts in that verse 5, where our spiritual privileges should not only help us to count our blessings for this year, which is the last day of the year, 2017, and we'll continue to rejoice in the God of our salvation for these spiritual privileges that we have been given. For us to use, to strengthen our faith, to demonstrate to the world the Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who save us to the uttermost, and to equip us with the mind of Christ, the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we will be ready to launch into the new year with such high expectation that the Lord will bless our day by day new year in His great call to attend to our duties, to our calling, to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost world. That is the first priority called He Save Us as individual and as a nation. And so with all the spiritual privileges, we have seen in verse 5 of chapter 2, which is, we are called a lively stones, which are built up a spiritual house. We became a spiritual house because the Holy Spirit, the Triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lives in us. And the Triune God expect us to be a holy, to be a holy priest. We are a small priest, but we have only one priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. But He considers us little priests in this world, so that we will proclaim the good news that He gave to us, the good news of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as a holy priest, we are expected to offer spiritual sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. We praise to God and give thanks for His wonderful good works in accomplishing that which we cannot do for ourselves in saving our souls. It's only Him alone, by grace, through faith alone, that we are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of our own merits or good works, because good work has nothing to do with our salvation. Because the Bible says our good work is like a filthy rags that cannot earn God's approval for us to enter into the kingdom of God. Can you imagine our good works in the eyes of God? It's only after we are saved, we have been covered with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that righteousness will bear fruit in our lives. That's why we need the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. So these are the holy people, a spiritual house where God resides, so that we can offer praises and worship Him, which is our reasonable service, so that we will be acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And therefore, as in verse 9, we'll jump from there. We are now in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, we have not chosen God. God has chosen us. Remember that. A lot of people said, I have chosen God. No. Unless the Holy Spirit works in us and give us life. Life that can call unto God. We are dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible says. Therefore, a dead person cannot call unto God except he breathe life, except he allow His Holy Spirit to open our minds to the truth that God invites us to repent of our sin and to recognize the Son of God, who is the Savior and Lord of Lords and King of Kings of the whole universe, and for that matter, we as His redeemed people. We are a chosen generation. Can you imagine that privilege? We are a chosen generation. We did not choose God. He chose us. And that's one thing to rejoice. A royal priesthood. Some people admire the royal family, but we are more than a royal. We are more than them. Because some of them maybe are not yet fully embracing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But we are a royal family. a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Yeah, our nation is not our individual nation. We are a holy nation because we are redeemed by God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new nation. It's called a holy nation. We are a redeemed people of God. A peculiar people because we are different from the rest of the world. We were purchased by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. People who are being taken over by gangs, they are being ransomed by a big money. But we are not ransomed by big money because the precious blood of the Lamb cannot be bought by money. It is a sheer gift by the mercy and grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are a peculiar people, saved by grace through faith alone, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So moving on, even in those Old Testament times who worshiped the true God, had a limited access to Him. You are coming to that Hebrews chapter 10. The average Jewish people or person could commune with God through prayer, but was forbidden to approach Him physically, only through the high priest. Only the high priest was allowed to enter into God's presence in the Holy of Holies. That is the most holy place in the tabernacle or temple of God. But there's a ceremonial requirement, a ceremonial washing, and offer a sacrifice for his own sin and the sin that represent that tribe that offers this sacrifice not for the remission of their sin, but to alleviate God's anger, to remove the anger of God against those families. But the actual forgiveness of those sins in the temple being undertaken by the priest is actually been forgiven through by looking to the Savior, the Messiah, who has come. That's why Simeon, who saw the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose prayer alone is to see the Son of God before he died, he looked forward to this Savior. And that's how he was justified before even saw this. Before our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. So those Old Testament sinners are looking forward to the sacrifice, the only and true sacrifice that will wash away their sin. That's why John the Baptist, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world." That's the only one who can justify us and cover our sin. But in this case, the sacrifice of animals as an offering, sin offering, does not actually remove their sin. It actually alleviates the wrath of God. Because the wrath of God, when it is directed towards us as sinners, it is something that we cannot overcome. It always disturbs our conscience. But for that sacrifice, God's anger is lifted up, as if the forgiveness of sin has taken place, but only to the actual sacrifice of Christ when he came here on earth. Once and for all, he did that sacrifice. So, our continuous privilege on this end of 2017, which is the last day, and bringing them over to the new year, is that Christ's death provided access to the Father for all believers. Right? Christ's death. We as Christians enjoy unlimited access to the Father through Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews. I get your attention again to go back. In verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest or high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. As a member of God's royal priesthood, each one of us can approach him with confidence, knowing that he loves us and welcomes us into his presence as much as he welcomes his own son. Let's take advantage of this pre-access to God's throne of grace by communing with him in prayer and offering each day as a spiritual sacrifice to him. So in our individual prayer, let us praise our Lord Jesus for shedding his blood, his precious blood, so we can have access to the Father. Let's praise the Father for being a personal and approachable God. That should be uppermost in our prayer, in thanking God for providing access to the Father. So the mere fact that the Lord Jesus has accomplished that great sacrifice so that we have a pre-access to the Father for all believers. And then another privilege is that Christians share common spiritual characteristics. with the Old Testament, Peter identified believers as holy priests in 1 Peter chapter 2. Going back to chapter 5, which says, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Wait a minute. In chapter 2, I'm reading chapter 1. You also are lively stones, built up spiritual house, a holy priesthood. So that's how we are called, a holy priesthood, a holy priest, to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable unto God. We are identified as a holy priest, but many, many Christians don't really know what that means and what that entails to them as a privilege. The primary purpose of an Old Testament priest that was described in chapter 10 of Hebrews is that the priest was to offer acceptable sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. Priests were chosen by God himself. There's no other person among the Jewish people who can choose a priest. Only God can choose them. That's why they were chosen by God himself, especially cleansed through prescribed ceremonies and washing, clothed in a prescribed manner. They have to follow exactly what God requires unto that ceremonial washing, and anointed with oil as a symbolic of God's Spirit upon them. Faithful priests had a positive impact on believers and unbelievers at that time. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 6, they say they turned many back from iniquity. In other words, because of their testimony, they encourage others to go back to God and live and repent of their sin. And verse 7 of chapter 2 of Malachi, it adds to this that the lips of a priest, the wisdom from God's word, the reading of God's word, that's why the lips of the priest when he read God's word should preserve the knowledge of God, the instruction of God towards a holy living and a reverential fear of God. And men should seek instruction from the mouth of God, which is he uses from the mouth of the priest that God has ordained. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And people show respect to God's presence when his ordained priest or his selected priest read the word of God. So these qualifications are actually likened or paralleled among Christians whom God regard as the only true priest. You were chosen by him from the beginning, or from the foundation of the world, since the beginning of the world, and were cleansed by the washing of regeneration, the washing of the blood of Christ, renewing by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit, when God breathed you as sinners, we as sinners, it breathed us with a new life, so that we can only respond and understand the truth of God's warning to us to repent of our sin. You see? That's why the Holy Spirit renewing is always present to those who are redeemed by God. You cannot choose God. As I mentioned a while ago, the word of God continued to echo. God has chosen us. And without the in-breath life of the Holy Spirit, we cannot choose Christ. It is the faith of Christ that he gave to us to believe in him. So your purpose as a holy priest, as a small priest of God, saved by grace through faith alone to the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, is to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And that is thanksgiving and worshiping God, giving all the reverence that our soul can muster, and even continuous repentance, allowing the word, the gift of God's grace to the power of the Holy Spirit to continually convict us to offer that sacrifice of repentance and faith, and allowing ourselves to pray and seek God for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us again and again. And that is offering a spiritual sacrifice in prayer, in worshiping God, and praising him and thanking him through our Lord Jesus Christ for that great sacrifice he has done for us, so that we are a holy priesthood, ready to praise God, to worship God for what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. So scriptures tell us, therefore, to present our body, or your body, as a living sacrifice and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service of worship. That is according to Romans 12, verse 1. Obedience, that means obeying God's laws, God's commandments, which is not just readers or talkers of God's word, but we must be appliers or applying, obedient to the word of God. The love for the world must not be our experience day by day. We are a renewed people, not to love the world again, but to love instead the word of God. And our communion with God should characterize, in our worship, should characterize our new life in Christ. So our communion is not only on Sunday as redeemed people and fellow saints, even in our own individual prayer time. It should characterize that love for the word of God and obedience to his commandments, and the love for the saints as well. And sinner alike should see Christ as we demonstrate that grace, the work of God's grace in our life, and be affected by what they see. So you see, we are not only trying to share the gospel by words alone, but they see evidence of the work of God's grace in our lives, the change that he has undertaken, the love of God, the love of the mercy of God, the love of communing with God in prayer, so that prayer should not become a very big struggle for us, although that's As a new Christian, and perhaps even old Christians sometimes struggle in prayer. But we should ask God's help if we experience these things. God can renew us, especially in this new year, as we want to show to the world the privileges that God has given us, as is new people, as is ransomed people, as is people who has been redeemed by God, a peculiar people, a holy priesthood, ready to serve God and to worship Him. So the priesthood of believers is a high and holy calling. It's not just something that we expect from the Word of God, but God made that reality, that spiritual blessings, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by repenting of our sin. It's a high calling, a holy calling to which no one is suited apart from God's grace and power. But be assured that He who has called you will accomplish His good pleasure in you. Be committed to that goal each day, living a life of righteousness and holiness, obedient and loving His word, and loving God. That's how we show His love, is to be obedient. That's how we show our love for Jesus. He said that those who love me are those who obey my commandments. And so we should trust for all His sufficiency. And in our every need, we should not look to any other sources, but we look for Him alone, to the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And let us thank God for the privilege of being called the children of God. And use this privilege to the new year to influence others in many ways, in godly living, and in pointing others to our Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because they show the evidence. They see the evidence in us that we trusted Him. And then lastly, God has granted us the ability to understand the truth accordingly. Because sometimes our minds are dull, our minds are tired. So even though we are Christian, we must seek continually to understand God's word. Christians have been called out of darkness into marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Let's look into that verse. 1 Peter 2:9. Well, we have already read it. It says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who had called out of darkness into a marvelous light." So we are called out of darkness into a marvelous light. And our light is the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that refers to God's taking initiative from the day one of our salvation unto the present. He continued to enlighten us. Remember the word in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a lamp unto my path, a light unto my path." That's a lamp is something that when we walk, it only shows that part of our way. But a light spreads more light unto our path. And that gives us, that the Word of God makes us aware that God gives us more wisdom and stable faith as we continue to meditate upon Thy Word. Things that we don't understand before. We may have started a little lamp that show us little light. But as we go deeper into the things of God, in our walk with God, the Word of God give us more light to encourage us in our walk. So that is a blessed privilege that is only available to Christians. And what a joy it is to know, not only to recognize God's truth, but to walk in it daily. So it is one thing to know and understand God's word, but it's another thing to walk in it. So the words in James, let's not just hearers of the word, let's be doers of them. And then God's mercy includes also his general providential care for all mankind. Paul is speaking of his special compassion, first in salvation, then in daily blessings. And to those who belong to him, by it he withholds the punishment we deserve for our sin and grant us his loving kindness instead. So as we reflect continually on God's mercy in our life, let's meditate on Psalm 136, verse 1, which should serve as the song of our hearts. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let's reflect and meditate upon that, because God is merciful, and his mercy are new every morning. Amen.